we're going to try to finish the book of Jonah. So we're in, we'll do the last verse of chapter 1. But as we look at the book of Jonah, we see a determination there by Jonah not to obey God. He fears that God will forgive the Ninevites and show grace versus judgment. What a thing for a prophet to be afraid of. Jonah would rather die in versus preaching repentance to the Ninevites because he's afraid God will forgive them. Jonah's on this boat, though, and there's a storm at sea, and he calls on the sailors, if you want to calm the sea, throw me overboard, and that's going to cause the storm to stop. But the sailors, they don't want to throw Jonah overboard because that, to them, this means his instant death. But this raging storm has the sailors on this little boat desperate, and they cast lot, the lot falls on Jonah, so forth. And Jonah tells them, hey, if you throw me overboard, don't worry about it, the seas will calm. And the storm calming down when they throw him overboard, they see this was a God thing. This storm was caused by God, and he's bringing out his wrath upon Jonah. And it brings the sailors a little relief knowing that they have cast the right guy overboard. But in their hearts and minds, they think Jonah has been thrown to his death. But when they see that storm calm, the crew makes sacrifice, and they make promises and vows to God. Have you ever made a promise to God? If he will come to my rescue, I'm going to read the Bible a little more in my devotions. I'm going to read at least 3 chapters a day. And I'm going to pray at least a half hour every morning. And I'm going to give more tithes and more offerings. And I'm going to help little old ladies cross the street. I'm going to do whatever's necessary because I've made promises to God. I have a sort of a pet prayer, and that is, I ask the Lord to make the good works that he has for me for this day, make them real obvious because I blow right through them. I can be laying in bed at night and go, oh, man, that was an opportunity for me to do a good deed. But I want to recognize those opportunities before the day is over. But chapter 1 ends in the book of Jonah. And let's read the last verse of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. In 3 nights. Now, the Hebrew word for great fish, whale, or creature is dag. So it could be interpreted whale, great fish, great creature, and many times we think it's a whale. Probably it was. But there's an account of De Prevelle, a French scientist, and he was an editor. And De Prevelle records that in February 1891, the whaling ship Star of the East was on a whaling mission near the Falkland Islands. They spot a large sperm whale, and they lower down 2 longboats, and they go out there, and they're trying to harpoon this whale. And they do manage to get one harpoon, but the whale splashes around, knocks one of the little longboats over, and all the crew falls out of the boat. One man drowns, but another man turns up missing, and they don't know where he is. But they proceed to kill this whale, and they begin to hack away at the blubber on the whale, and a full day passes. And the sailors, they're startled with a large spasmodic object inside of the whale. Yep, it's the missing sailor. He's doubled up, and he's unconscious. And they laid this sailor, the one that had been swallowed, James Barclay, on the deck where the waves wash over him, and the waves washing over him revive him. And after 3 weeks, this man is fully recovered, and he goes back to his duties as a sailor. But the stomach acids, the fluids in a whale's stomach, has bleached Barclay a deathly white. And his skin is like parchment, like leather. And this is one recorded of an event where a man is swallowed by a whale and survived. And there's other ones. Now, you may or may not believe that story. I happen to believe it. But the body temperature of a whale is basically the same as a human being. It's around 99 degrees to 100 degrees. Well, a human's 98.6. But let's read further and read chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord, and because of my affliction, he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All the billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth was with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up to life from the pit, O Lord my God. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. So for 3 days and three nights, they pass, and Jonah, it is amazing, he comes to the realization, I'm not dead. What has happened to me? And he understands that he's in the belly of a great fish or a whale. Jonah understands that he has grievously offended God, but he still cries out to God. And Jonah finally calls out to God, and notice, God answers Jonah. Jonah has gone from Joppa towards Tarshish. Jonah has took himself down into the lower parts of this ship. He's fell asleep. The captain comes, tells him, awake, O sleeper. And now God takes Jonah down into the depths of the ocean in the belly of a whale. And finally, Jonah cries out to God, and God hears him. Jonah repents. It dawns on Jonah where he is and what's going on. It tells us water surrounds Jonah, seaweed is wrapped around his head, and he's in the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale, yet he is alive. And he says, then I remembered my Lord and lifted up my prayer to God. And my sacrifices to you, God, is a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Obviously, Jonah has made some promises to the Lord that he will obey him. He's agreed to obey God. And Jonah comes to a great conclusion. Salvation is of the Lord. God again will direct this fish that was prepared. And he directs this fish, the great whale, to vomit Jonah out. And he does, and he vomits Jonah out onto dry ground. Chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day of his walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said, and he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Nineveh hears God's word delivered by Jonah. What made him listen to Jonah? Well, he's bleached out. He's totally white, and he's walking through the city, and he's crying out, Yet 40 days, and God's going to destroy you. They believe this guy, one from his appearance, and from the king down to the least of them, even down to the animals, they put on sackcloth, sign of mourning, and they sat in ashes, and they're fasting and they're repenting. Verse 9. Who can tell? Perhaps God will turn away from his wrath and anger so that we may not perish. Verse 10. God sees their works of repentance and relents from the disaster intended for Nineveh. God, for the second time in chapter 3, he gives Jonah the same command. Arise, go to the city. Preach, proclaim the message I give you. And this time, Jonah obeys. God is not wanting to destroy this evil, wicked city and this sinful people. And he gives Jonah a straightforward message for this city. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, here again, Jonah is a walking spectacle, being bleached out, totally white, probably no hair on his body, and the word is out. Jonah has survived 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, and God used and prepared this whale to verify Jonah's message, and it caused Jonah to be scarred. Can you imagine Jonah passing by, white, totally white, albino white, and he's got a message for you. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. You're going to tend to listen to him. You may not agree with him, but you're going to listen to him. But Jonah himself, he's very angry. Angry because he fears that God will relent and save Nineveh. Why would Jonah be so angry at God over that? Well, the Ninevites were extremely cruel and evil as a society, as a people. They would march their armies towards a city, wanting to take the city, and the city would surrender to them before they even shot one arrow or clashed one sword. And here's how they would lead the captives out. They would take prisoners, and they would put a big fish hook through the bottom out through the mouth, and attach a rope to it, and you would lead that person through a hook in his mouth. And they could take care of hundreds of people. Just line them up, tug on that hook a little bit, and you would follow. And they're known for their cruelty. But Jonah's not afraid of that. Jonah's afraid God's going to forgive them. They would do a lot of despicable things. Torture was not beyond them. They would skin people alive, and they would start down on the feet and roll the skin up, and the person that's being skinned alive got to watch himself being skinned alive. They're the ones that really started crucifixion, but they did it in a different way. They would set up a sharp pole, and they would set the person down on that pole, and the person would flail about in pain and agony until the spike came through the top of their head. They devise great ways of torture. But that doesn't faze Jonah. He's afraid God's going to forgive them. Chapter 4. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Not a bad thing to be accused of. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah's still hoping that God will destroy it. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on a plant for which you did not labor, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which you are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Hear Jonah's prayer. "Lord, you've done exactly what I was afraid you were going to do, and that's the reason I fled from you. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Wow. That's not an accusation. That's a praise. But the most beautiful thing about God is forgiveness. And that troubles Jonah. When we forgive, we become like our God. Jonah had a deep deep-seated hate for the Ninevites. The hate went so deep that even after the whale, he would rather be dead than to be like his God and forgive. And remember, Jonah's a prophet. He's a prophet of a God, yet he hates the Ninevites so desperately. And the God has one question for Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? I forgave Nineveh, Jonah, and that was a good thing. So why are you angry? But Jonah, verse 5, he's pouting. And he goes out of the city of Nineveh on the east side, and he makes a little shelter for himself, and he's watching and waiting to see what will become of Nineveh. He's still hoping God will destroy it. But God prepared a fast-growing plant to cover Jonah as a shade. And this is important, for Jonah is so bleached out, so white, that sunburn is very possible. Even to be in sunlight, he would probably get sunburned. But Jonah's grateful for this plant. And he's very happy that this plant sprang up. Now God prepares a worm. And this worm just kind of chews at the base of this plant and it withers. And then God prepared a vehement, it says, a strong east wind. And the sun beats down on Jonah's head so hotly that Jonah becomes faint. And again, we have Jonah wishing and hoping for death. He says, it's better for me to die than to live. And God asks, Jonah, is your anger justified? Is it right? You're concerned about a plant, but here's people that you want me to kill. And Jonah said, it's right. It's right for me to be angry, God, even unto death. Now, among the Jewish people, suicide is the unpardonable sin. So Jonah cannot take his own life, but he can sure wish and hope for his life to be taken from him. Jonah, you're upset. You're angry that a plant which you did not do anything to make grow has died. That plant sprang up in one night, and it also died in one night. And you had compassion and feelings for a plant. But Jonah, you're angry at me, your God, because I have loved the people of Nineveh. And Jonah, I've kept you alive. I did not allow you to die. But I prepared a great fish to swallow you. I prepared a plant to grow up and give you shade. And I prepared a lowly worm to eat that plant, to kill the plant, and I'm trying to get your attention, Jonah. Jonah, you're my prophet, and you absolutely have no right to be angry at my grace and mercy. Jonah, I prepared you to cry out against Nineveh. I told you to tell them to repent, and they have repented. And God continues and says, Jonah, I have 120,000 babies in Nineveh that can't even distinguish from their left hand to their right, and you want me to destroy them too. Jonah, you cling to your petty feelings of what you want and call it justice. But Nineveh and all its people, 600,000 of them, have repented. Jonah, you need to repent. And you need to repent of your deep hatred for this people. Your deep hatred for the infants, the livestock of Nineveh. Jonah, a hardcore prophet, he does repent. Well, how do we know that? Because Jonah is the one who wrote the book of Jonah. And Jonah spells out how stubborn he was, how headstrong he was, and how he offended God with his behavior. Jonah writes about himself. Jonah has described his evil heart that is within him. And Jonah has pointed out how God is merciful and how God is kind, how God patiently deals with himself as a prophet, and how Nineveh and all 600,000 of those people of Nineveh are given grace and mercy. Perhaps the greatest revival ever. 600,000 become followers of the living God. And yeah, Jonah had his hard heart exposed. Jonah is a great lesson of the beauty of repentance for Nineveh and for himself. Jonah tells how he had to repent because he writes about himself in his hard heart. Sometimes we can resent the mercy and grace of God when it goes out. Examine your heart. Do not have the heart of Jonah. The whole book of Jonah is written by Jonah, about Jonah, and how he did not have the capacity to forgive and accept God's goodness for a people that he deemed unworthy to receive God's grace. Don't fall into that trap. Amen. Get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.